welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
We thank you, Lord, for your word going forth with power. Lord, we're hungry and we're ready to receive. And everybody said, yes, God. And just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm ready to receive. Beautiful. Take your seats. Thank you very much. And turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. So we've got a healing service. Because is anybody sick here at all? Or is everyone in perfect health? Some of you have mental conditions. I can tell just by looking at you from up here. Over mental health and emotional health, really, which are very close. They're big issues, as well as physical health. And it's just really important that we give people an opportunity to receive from God. And one of the things that we have up there on those overheads, you know, when we do the kind of, they rotate there while we're kind of letting you know what's happening. One of them is that that God is the greatest of all givers. And he loves to give. He gave so much. He already gave Jesus. And our job is to become a receiver. And if you want to be a Christian at all, just being a Christian is very simple, but you can't be born a Christian. You could be born in a garage that doesn't make you a car. You could be born in a church. You could go to church every day of your life. You may have been baptized. You may have been sprinkled. But you can't be born a Christian, you have to be born again. Remember that phrase? You might have heard that phrase. Jesus said exactly that. That's right. There was a religious man who came and spoke to Jesus, and he could see that Jesus was sent from God. Now, that's an important thing right there. Who was God sent? We kind of talk about that. But he could see Jesus was sent from God. And then he said, so what do I have to do to enter this kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, you've got to be born again. And then he was thinking naturally, like a lot of people do, and he said, well, how am I going to get into my mother's womb a second time? And that's a fair question, a difficult thing to do, no doubt about that. But that wasn't what he was talking about. He was talking about his heart, his inward person being made new, being reborn. And that's true of every person. And if we had one goal in life, I suppose, I mean, I want to love people whether they receive Jesus or not. I think that's a really important perspective to have. But at the end of the day, if I had one purpose in life, it would be to get everybody I know to receive Jesus, to receive the life of God on the inside of them, because that's what will change them more than I can change them. And the only thing I can do for people really is talk about and bring revelation or understanding to what God has done in Jesus. Because when you receive him, you become this new person. All of a sudden, life becomes completely different. Because now God is not just somebody who loves you out there, but he's someone who lives inside of you. And it's the simplest thing to do. You just got to receive in your heart. It's kind of like receiving the love of a person, you know, when we say live in your heart. Carrie had that great testimony about how people's lives, hearts just had dramatically changed. And I remember, because we value it when really prophetic people speak over our lives. And she'd had this really significant word over her life just about miracles in the family. And we talked about how God was doing that. And you know, we came back, like I said, we came back, and it just kind of occurred to me, and I thought, that's exactly what's going on, and this is really, this is a miracle. I mean, this is amazing that these things would open up and that these hearts would change. You see, now, but in relationship like that, you see, when you, how many know what it is to have something against someone? You ever had that feeling? It's not a good feeling. It's not a good way to live. It'll hold you back. But now when you have something against someone, or you've got a problem or an issue, you can be all very friendly. But when they come to you and they're all nice to you, you can't receive their love in your heart, really. You know what I mean? There's the real part of you is blocking it off. Well, it's a bit like that with God. Receiving him into your heart is just receiving his love. It's just opening your heart to his love and saying, I'm going to put my trust in you. And some of us look at our lives and we think to ourselves, you know, if this had been different, or if somebody had treated me differently, or if this hadn't happened this way, then maybe I could, you know, or if I could just get this right, and if I could get that sorted, and if I could just feel like I could fix this problem in my life, or I could stop feeling so bad about myself, well, maybe then I could receive this Jesus. But the point is to receive him right where you are right now in whatever condition you're in, because he gives you the power to fix the problems that you've been trying to fix for years. Let's just close our eyes and lift our hands, turn our hand towards heaven, and I want to give you an opportunity here. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just feel like God is here and he's, you know, moving us in this direction. So if you're sitting here and you're feeling like, either you're feeling like, I can't ever remember really consciously, definitely saying, Jesus, come into my heart, I want you. Or else, maybe somewhere back there you did. So if somebody quizzed you and you said, well, yeah, probably I'm a Christian somewhere. But today as we sit here, the reality of his love filling your heart, it just isn't like it should be. And you know that, then I want you to take this opportunity and invite him into your heart. And I'd like all of us in this congregation, this gathering here, to pray this out loud together. And that way, if you're praying that, now what I'd like you to do, because I want to help you, so if you're praying that for the first time, or this is a real reconnection with God, then I want you to come and see me, and we'll sit down and chat just for a minute or two, straight after the service when everyone's having their coffee. Because this is the most important thing you could ever do. But it really is simple. So let's all pray this together. Let's say this out loud. Father God, I want to thank you for loving me, for choosing me, for speaking to me today. I can hear your voice in my heart. And I receive your love. I choose to receive you. Come into my heart. Thank you that as you do, you forgive me everything I've ever done wrong. And I'm changed from the inside out. I'm born again right this moment because of your love. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Why don't we give God praise right now? And I expect there's at least a couple of us here that made a significant prayer this morning like that, and I'd love you to chat with me, or if you find me a little bit frightening, you know, then chat to Lucille. She's far less frightening than me, or Caroline. Somebody like Caroline can be quite frightening, let me tell you. Yeah. She's very kind. But let's do that. Let's make sure. That's the greatest thing you can do. That's the first step. And this whole matter of receiving from God is the best pattern for your whole Christian life. So when you go through life every week, every day you get up in the morning, your thinking ought to be, I'm receiving from God and going to keep receiving from God. That's my mode of life. God speaks to me, I receive his words. God heals me, I receive his healing. God's with me, I receive his presence. I'm going into work, God's with me, I receive his help, I receive his strength. I've got to make decisions today, I receive his wisdom, helping me make good decisions. I'm going to need his forgiveness because, unfortunately, I slept in, I'm late at work, and I'm feeling bad about that, so now I need to receive his forgiveness. So I still probably need to apologize to the people at work and get it sorted. But you can't walk around feeling guilty all day, because God will forgive you, and then you're forgiven, and then you move on with strength. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. So this whole receiving thing is really important. And receiving is really just another way of talking about faith or believing. See, it's believing God that receives. And we talk about healing. We've talked a fair bit about the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And we're going to have a look at this amazing story in Mark chapter 5. Did I mention that to you? Mark 5. And we'll just read it through together. If you've got a Bible, follow it with me. If you don't, then just have a listen in at what we're talking through here. But it's the story of Jesus. And it's one of the best, clearest examples of somebody who got healed. And so it doesn't matter what your situation is, but receiving healing is really important. And you don't need to live with less than God's best in your life. If you've never written that down, write it down. You don't need to live with less than God's best. There's no need for that. If you are, and I think we all suffer from that to some degree, then all that's happened is that you've just got a bit sloppy. Anyone ever got sloppy before? You just got a bit sloppy. And what's happened is months and years have gone by and you've put up with a certain circumstance. And actually, if you stop and think about it, that could change. Now, you can't make somebody else change, but you can sure make you change. And you changing is really the biggest key. If you think you're going to be happy just when everybody's nice to you and they finally realize that you're a nice person and that you never really meant and that they really did the wrong thing and so now they're going to come and say sorry, and then you'll never be happy. Stop looking for that. Because you can't make somebody else see what you can see, and in any case, you can't see with 100% accuracy anyway. And I wrote it somewhere recently. Lester Sumrall said it years ago, and it's one of my favorite sayings, you know. Other people's heads is not the place for your happiness. It doesn't matter how nice you are, some people will not believe you're nice. They don't want to. And if you let that upset you, you're going to be upset every day of your life, one way or another. So you've got to let things go. You've got to realize that, like somebody said once, I'll put it this way, he said, happiness is an inside job. It is, it's an inside thing. You can be happy in the middle of really unpleasant circumstances. You can. And you can also be in a pretty good situation in life, and I would venture to say that the vast majority of the British population, if you look at the world overall, is in a pretty good situation in life. But you can be in a pretty good situation in life and be moaning and miserable every day. You don't need to be. Happiness is an inside job. So you've got to... Now, let's have a look at Mark 5 here as we talk about this healing subject. In verse about 25, it starts, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She was in this crowd. Verse 24 says, Jesus went, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. So it's like he's at the Emirates, you know, and all the Arsenal fans and he's, you know, Sanchez, and they're all pressing around. They want that, except he's Jesus. And he's not at the Emirates. But other than that, it's very similar. Anyway, they're all pressing him. And a woman was there. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. So this bleeding condition is an illness. And a female, what we might call today female problems. But she's had it for 12 years. And we get the story here. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. Had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And you think you've had a bad week. When you have that condition in those days, you're a social outcast. She's actually where she's not allowed to be. You can't be in contact with people. That was part of the rules of life at that point. So you were isolated, a little bit like a leper. So she's obviously got some whatever you want to call them, to go and push in there in this crowd. And I like that. But that is part of faith. So she suffered everything. Now, you know, if we stop and think right there, most people we know, if they have an ailment, just an ailment or a condition or a problem, most people will complain about it, and I understand why. But if you've had a problem that is so bad, it wasn't your fault, and you're isolated socially from everybody, and it's been going on for 12 years, and you got all your money together and spent it on doctors, and they couldn't help. In fact, now you're worse. Most people would quit right there. They would have quit a long time ago. They would have been angry at God or they would have sat down. And that's the thing you've got to watch. You see, the enemy will try and discourage you and make you feel like it's too much, it's too hard, it's not fair. That's not true. Everything the devil says is a lie. He can't tell the truth. He can't lie straight in bed. But God will tell the truth. And the truth is that God can help you if you will just tilt your eyes towards Him. And that's what she did. So she's in this terrible situation, but she says to herself, verse 27, she heard about Jesus. She came in behind Him and touched His cloak because she, well, this version says she thought, but the other version, the better version says said, if I touch His clothes, I'll be healed. But that's in her mind anyway. That's her thinking. If I will touch His clothes. Now you imagine what you've got to have inside of you to overcome all these 12 years of difficulty and pain and disappointment and rejection. And now Jesus is there. And instead of saying, well, you know, most people would be pretty good, doing pretty good just to say, well, I hope something happens. I mean, just to show up is pretty impressive. But she says, if I can touch His cloak, I'm going to be healed. She's come with an attitude of receiving. That attitude there is believing. That attitude she's got there is faith. That's what that is. If you ever wonder what faith is, that's a good example of it right there. So she thought, if I touch His clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out of Him. He felt it as well. He turned around in the crowd and He said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said, look, you can see all these people crowding around you as if you were Sanchez at the Emirates. No, I threw that bit in. And yet you ask, who touched me? Jesus kept looking around because He knew power had gone out of Him. And this experience of the power of God is very important and we need to be familiar with it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened, came and fell at His feet. She was trembling with fear. She told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, daughter, you got really lucky. Most people don't get healed, but today was your lucky day. Isn't that what your version says? Daughter, your faith is healed. You go in peace and be free from your suffering. What healed her? Her faith. Not His faith. Not somebody else's faith. And faith and believing. Faith is a noun. Believing is a verb. But they're the same thing. If you're a believing God, and we use that phrase way too lightly, and then you've got faith. If you've got faith, you're convinced that a certain thing is going to happen. Most of us, when we use the term believing, what we're really saying is we want to believe. We're kind of staying on the positive side of neutral. And at best, we've got hope. We're at least hopeful. We're at least positive. But faith is a different thing. Faith is a thing that you could have 12 years worth of bad doctor's reports and you'll still push in and expect that you're going to get something from God. And I want us to understand, see, that the most critical issue, and we're talking about healing here today, the most critical issue is your believing. That's why we talked to you a little bit about you know, earlier about whatever we did. I forget what it was, but I know that's why I said it. What did I say? About receiving from God. Because you've got to realize that that's your role in life. You could write that down too. My role in life is to receive from God. That's why a good way to approach it. That's the Christian's perspective. I would tend to suggest that you receiving from God is more important as a Christian than you doing nice, good things for people. I don't disagree with doing nice, good things for people. As a matter of fact, I've got a problem if we aren't doing nice, good things for people. But what most people think is, if I'm a Christian, then I'm a nice, good person and I don't swear, or at least not too often, and I pray, I say my prayers in the morning and the night, and, you know, I read the Bible. Well, I have the Bible next to my bed and I read it occasionally. Just being honest with you. And most people don't think I'm a receiver from God. But that's the wrong way around. The first thing God wants you to do is receive. The first thing. Maybe you could write that down as well. The first thing God wants you to receive is the first thing God wants you to do is to receive from him. What? All kinds of things. Love, sense of esteem and value. Healing is like that. Wisdom and guidance for life. Just receive. It's we use this quote all the time. You know, the Christians do. They'll say, well, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And it is. But in this relationship, you're supposed to receive. He's the guy with no limit. We're the ones with limits. But most of the time, most Christians think in their minds, well, my job is to be a really nice Christian. And if I'm feeling really bold and I can muscle up the boldness, I can maybe, you know, share my faith with somebody, and then we think we're doing good, and that is good. And we're focused on what we... And most of us, if we're really honest, and this is what God is transitioning in the church, most of us don't have all that much to give to other people, if we're really honest, because we never received that much. Most of us don't walk around with a lot of confidence saying, look, if you can get to me, you can get to God. That's what T.L. Osborne used to say. Most of us don't walk around saying, I am just a healing machine looking for sickness. Most of us don't think that way because we think, focus on our behavior. But the key thing you've got to do is receive. The more you receive, you can't give what you haven't received. And that's what we're trying to do all the time. Live a good life, which we often fall short of, feel guilty about. We've got to receive some forgiveness. You've got to receive his open-hearted love so you stop feeling shame. Because feeling ashamed is never the purpose of God for your life. But a lot of Christians feel that way. Our job is to receive. And this woman gives us the single biggest key. It was her faith that gave action to God's power. And that's a good way to put it, I think. God's power did the healing. Faith results in something. It makes a change. She felt a change. Jesus felt something shift. And a lot of the healing ministry people, you know, we've had so much evangelical kind of thinking that has questions feeling things. And sometimes I understand, because if you become too feeling oriented, well, I feel like God is with me. Well, now I don't feel like God is with me. Well, that's not helpful. But if you're just faithing it through life and you never feel anything, then you're missing out on a lot. John Lake talked exactly the same way. He could feel the presence of God on him. He sensed, he knew, and he would just, if there wasn't enough presence, he'd pray in tongues or he'd worship God until the anointing, the presence of God, increased on his life. He could feel it. He knew it was so real that he went into to scientific people that could measure, it was a voltmeter I think they used, but some kind of scientific device. And they said, he said, put it on my leg here. And then he laid hands on it. I forget exactly how he did it, but it was a scientific device. And then he began to pray in tongues, and the meter went up like this, and it went right off the scale. They said, we've never seen anything like that. He was just familiar with the power of God. Jesus was like that. You remember one day he said, and this power of the Spirit was present to heal. Remember that? Didn't say that every day, but some days that's just there in a stronger measure than others. We need to get familiar with that world, and that all comes by having a perspective of a healer. Your life of a receiver. Your life can change like that by shifting your mind into being a receiver. Are you with me? And so you're believing. What you're believing literally does is puts a pull on heaven's resource, on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here, and your faith, your believing. So we prayed earlier for people to receive Jesus. And for all of those that did that where there was an area where they weren't quite 100% sure, whatever they did that, you praying that prayer and reaching out in your heart and receiving, that put a pull on heaven's resource, and out of that pull, God's life came into you. And it's exactly the same with the gifts of the Spirit. If you will receive, if you'll actively believe that you receive, then that puts a pull on that and you receive that. One of the amazing stories about healing, it kind of helped me, and I'm sure you'll find it interesting. I don't think I've told it for a while, but it was about the most unusual thing that I read in a book called I Saw Heaven by a young man called, he was young then, he's early 50s now, and I had the pleasure of driving him around when I was just a a young rookie minister over in Australia, and he came and visited us for a conference. His name's Robert Laird, and some of you will have heard of him. He's a good teacher on the subjects of the generals of God. Probably not quite as good as what we're doing on Thursday night, but he's all right. You know, no, he's very, very well known for that. But when he was young, 8 years old, God took him to heaven. He was sitting in his bedroom at home, and all of a sudden he felt this pull come on him, and he was traveling very quickly, and he ended up in a place called heaven, 8 years old. And heaven's there. Hello? Heaven's there right now. It's no less real than here. It's quite similar to here. There'll be rooms and chairs. But God took him, and I know of lots of different experiences of that. And I would expect that some of us at some point in our life will have that experience. God's just, you know, heaven and earth are really pretty close. Apparently you travel very quickly. That's what everyone I've heard of, spoken to about people that have gone to heaven. You travel very, very quickly. And you can see two or three of the different people, they can see the earth as they go. They can see the shapes of different nations, like you're in a rotating around the earth, like a satellite type thing. Anyway, so he's there in heaven, he lands there, and he meets a few people. Jesus is one of them. And there's Jesus and an angel, and they take him for a tour. And I don't know how long he was there, for a few hours, and there's a whole lot of experiences he had. And if you're interested, the book's called I Saw Heaven, and it's a pretty good book. That doesn't mean, by the way, that every doctrine that we believe is based on someone's personal experience, but where someone who's got a good reputation's personal experience helps enlighten us on what we see in the scripture, well, that can be helpful. And he talked about different buildings that he saw. There was the building where God met. So there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said there was thunder and lightning all around it, and that's where they would meet and discuss things together. And the most unusual, they had worship services, and he talked about what worship was. He jumped in the river of life, which was like, he said, it's like water, but it's not water, and it goes right through you. He said, and then you get out, and you're not wet like normally wet, but, and then this great wind came, and he was like dry like that. And he said, there's no shadows. You know how that Bible verse says there's no shadows? He says, because God's light is everywhere. It's not coming from one place. There's no shadows anywhere. Anyway, the most unusual thing he saw, Jesus took him and this angel, they took him into this huge warehouse type building. And they opened the doors and went in, and there's all these body parts in this building. So there's like, I don't know how they hang them, stack them. Don't know how they did it. Legs, elbows, arms. He saw like containers with eyes, different color eyes, blue eyes, all that stuff. Because if you stop and think about it, like what you've got, God made in the first place anyway. I mean, you were once, your physical part was just a couple of cells that joined together, became a gamete. Is that the right word? A gamete, isn't that the first thing? The two cells joined together? Yeah, high school biology always comes in handy. And is that right, Carrie? Is that the right word? Oh, zygote, that's another one. We have these funny words. But it's an amazing thing. And in the imprint of those two cells that are just the tiny, everything that you become is already built into that and all that. And so God knows exactly how to do that. And you've seen and heard of lots of miracles where people have, you know, either had legs restored or their eyes have been restored. If you haven't, I can show you all those kinds of things. So God, so he's got all this. And Jesus turns to him. He sees all these legs. He says, what on earth is this? He's 8 years old. Jesus said to him, this building is supposed to be emptied every day. That's a great thought. That, in other words, God's already got all the healing and all the body parts for every sick person on the planet already sitting there waiting. The problem is how to get it from there to here. And that's what faith does. Faith receives. Faith pulls stuff out of heaven into here. So your responsibility is to be a believer and be a receiver. Since, you know, Finney used to say, preaching the gospel without practical application is not preaching the gospel at all. If I don't leave you with something to do, to change, to shift, then, you know, you might as well go and read the paper. But we got to shift. We've got to become receivers. It doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter what your situation is. you can receive from God, and in terms of physical healing, all the bits are already there. God's already provided them. Isn't that like God? That he would do that? And here's a great story that that I remember Yongyi Cho told, and I've told that once or twice, but not for a little while, of exactly that thing. Yongyi Cho, you heard of Yongyi Cho? So he's the pastor of these however many, 700,000 people in Seoul, Korea. And he's a person like any of the rest of us, and he had bladder problems all his life, for decades, 20 or 30 years, something like that. And so he used to have to go to the toilet like every half hour or every hour. And I remember the story once of when he went to Australia, and it was, I think, his nephew or cousin that told the story. And he went to Australia, and he was flying from one meeting to another. And on this occasion, they put him in a very small plane. Is that this? Break a break. Come in, 10-4. Maybe we'll try the other mic. It could be a battery thing. Doesn't look like a battery. We'll keep trying. Isn't that exciting? Could be the Lord just affirming the message. Ever thought of that? Eh? Maybe I'll try the other mic and just see if it isn't that. Hmm? Don't think so? Well, we'll try it anyway. We'll give it a whirl and you never know. Maybe it's, sometimes it's, you know, people outside like signals outside. Taxis. Check, check, check. Boom. I love the effects on that one. That's why really the only reason I wanted it. Hello. All right. Will we keep going? Do we don't know if that's coming up in the recording? All right. We'll keep going. Don't get distracted. Stay with me. I'll just turn it up one, a notch or two. You all right? Yeah. You're still with me? Yeah. So, that is terrible. Has that fixed it, do you think? Is it just a bit loose? It's doing good now. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Jander, put your hands together, would you please? All right, good, good. The wonders of technology. So, Cho is in this situation. Yeah, that was the story. He's on the plane. And they put him on a really small plane, like a little Cessna, which didn't have a toilet. And because he was in Australia, he was flying to Perth, and you know, you think flight is, and he's on a 6-hour flight. And he was in agony. It's really the story. And I just thought I'd tell you that so that you realize these people are just human persons. But anyway, the Lord spoke to him about it years later, decades later, and said, "Why don't you have faith and get that thing healed?" Isn't that interesting? Because we kind of just put up with things sometimes. And it's a good illustration of how we receive. Because he had received a lot of things. If you read his story, like a book called The Fourth Dimension that he wrote, which talks about faith and receiving from God. It's a great book. It's a life-changing book. I'd be writing it down if I were you. The Fourth Dimension, and by Yongyi Cho. Well, I just call him Yongyi Cho because first he called himself David Yongyi Cho. And then later he changed it to Paul Yongyi Cho. It's the same guy. He just did it to try and, you know, help people in America buy his books by putting a first name on, so, and help kind of give you accessibility to the Western world. But in any case, he's there and so he has this word from God, if you like, and he says, "Well, I'm going to do that then." And so he focuses on receiving healing for his bladder. And because it's been damaged, it had to do with a war injury from when he was young. Japan and Korea were at war when he was young. And so it took a few weeks and he's believing God, but he knew how to pray with faith and he just focused. That's one of the things you do. He didn't let himself get distracted on other things. He just put his faith into action and said, "I'm receiving that. That's what I'm believing." And long story short, after 2 or 3 weeks later, he said he was in a time of prayer. He used to pray a few hours a day. Maybe that's where some of us miss out a little bit on some of the things from God, you know. And because angels carry these things from heaven. They've got to be transported. Stuff's got to come from there to here. Are you with me? Yeah. Make sense to you? And what fuels these angels is our faith and our confession, our words. As soon as you start saying, "Oh, it doesn't look like that's happening," you're going to stop angels bringing stuff. So you've got to make up your mind what you're going to receive. And so there he is in a place of prayer, and he said, and he saw, this is one of the funniest things I've heard, he said, I saw a beautiful bladder. And it was like in the spiritual world, but with his eyes open, I saw a bladder sitting there in front of me, and it was like, and it came into me, and he said, and I just went click, like this, that's what he says, click, and he said, and it was, and everything was all right from then on. So it's talking about the same kinds of things. I'm just looking at a particular angle for a particular angle to help you. But the point, however you want to receive it, the point is this, God's got everything you need. And it's your faith that's going to receive it. Are you with me? So let me have a look, and before we're going to close in 5 minutes, let's look at a couple of things here. Your believing is the most important matter. And that's why what you listen to is so important. That's why we do podcasts. Oh, I would to God that I could convince you somehow to make time each week to listen to the podcasts we send. And there are other good ones as well. To just because you've got to hear something more than once if you're going to get it on the inside of you. I mean, if you ever sat for exams, you know, for university or whatever, and you know, the quadratic equation, what is that? B squared equals the square root of 4ac on 2a or something like that. But I barely remember that, but it was, you know, that's a long time ago that I did that, because you just heard it so many times. And you've got to do that with the things of God if you want your heart to get convinced, because that's how you receive. Your believing is the most important matter. Your faith gives action to God's power. What are we going to believe? Here's a couple of things that you need to believe. Write it down. Say, I need to believe this. Number one, you've got to believe you're incredibly precious, significant, and valuable. You've got to believe that. And you might sit there and say, well, I find that hard to believe. Well, I used to too. But I'm telling you how to receive things from God. You were hoodwinked. If you don't believe you're valuable, you were hoodwinked. You were lied to. That's what the devil would love you to believe. And he'll keep pummeling that until you believe you're so insignificant and so useless that you become depressed and take your own life. That's the devil would love it. But God's exactly the opposite. The more you believe, you're wonderful. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about I have great value. There's nothing more valuable on the planet than people, and you're one of them. But you are responsible for what you believe about you. Now you might say, well, my parents said this about me. Yeah, I know. Been there. And you know, my ex treated me this way and what. I know. Been there. These are all real things. I'm not belittling them. What I'm saying is that in the midst of whatever circumstances, you still get to choose what you believe about you. And you choose it by what you hear. First, believe that you are incredibly precious. If you've never written that down, just everyone say it quietly to yourself. I am incredibly precious. You are a precious commodity, let me tell you. You were made a little bit lower than God. God chose you before the foundation of the world. If you wanted a Bible verse to support it, Ephesians 1:3. Before the world was started, he said, I want an Amy. Amy Coward, I think I want one of those. Never had one of those before. Let me design that. Oh, she's going to be something special. That's what he was thinking before he started the world. That's true of every person. That's absolutely the truth. Now, if we start seeing ourselves and other people like that, it makes it much easier to love people. Yeah, some people can do some really nasty things, I know. But they do it because they don't realize how valuable they are. And some people, it's true, will continue to believe, but will continue to refuse that, and will continue to be nasty and unpleasant until the end of their lives, and you can't make them change. Some people will. But there are lots of people that won't. And you can't change anybody unless they want changing. But you can believe that about you. God chose you. God gave Jesus up for you, Romans 8:32. How can anything else be too good for you? How does that make sense? Oh, he sent Jesus. That was fairly expensive for him. But to speak to me or to guide me. Thank you, Daniel. Believe, and here's another thing we believe, 1 Peter 2:24, believe that Jesus' broken body paid for the healing of your physical body. That's what 1 Peter 2:24 says. By his stripes, we were healed. Physical healing already has been paid for. Forgiveness of your sins has already been paid for. Here it is. Surely he took our sicknesses and bore our pains. Why did he take them? So that you don't have to. What if you have a spare eyeball, an eyeball missing and you need a new one? We have that already on hold reserved in your name. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds, he didn't get wounded for himself, he got wounded for us. So the only question you need to ask yourself is, did he get wounded? If he got wounded, you got healed. And the final thing is, focus and persist. What Cho said is really true. He said, most people don't get anywhere with their prayer lives because they pray like a shotgun. They're just scattered everywhere. And in 10 minutes, we've prayed for our family. We've prayed for ourselves. We've prayed for our finances. We've prayed for stains. And we prayed for mum and dad. And it's all done. And it's 8 minutes. That's great. I mean, it's better than not praying, but it's not much better. And I'm not trying to, like, put your hand behind your back. I'm just saying, if you study your high school biology like that, you are not going to pass. Oh, well, I just had a little flick through the book. Yeah, I've heard most of that before. That should be all right. You're going to just have to do hours and hours to get it on the inside of you if you want to pass. And I'm not talking about, look, listen to me, I'm not trying to force you to be a, you know, good little religious person. You've got to hear what God is saying to the exclusion of other things. There's so much gumph coming into our lives. So many newspaper reports saying why this is going to go wrong and you're going to lose your house because of interest rates and so many people get cancer and da-da-da-da-da. I'm not really interested in those stats. There's news coming from heaven. And the news from heaven says, I've already got the healing paid for every single person on the planet. It just depends what you tune into, folks. Focus and persist. Reject negative thoughts. Fill your minds with God's word. Meditate until faith grows. Think about it until your faith grows. And make time with the Holy Spirit. Just make time to be with God. It comes from a person. All this stuff flows from a person. We're gonna close our service. I've got to put down my special little microphone. But I'm going to ask you all to stand now and be in a position to... And if you have any sickness or any need of any kind, maybe you say, I'm not sick, but I need wisdom from God. I need help with this situation. Or I need healing in my heart because my heart is hurting because of what people have done. And you might say, I can't see how it can change. But that's what God is like. He specializes in things that you can't do. He's the God of the impossible. So we're going to just shift this. Owen, if you can shift that for me. And just now as we close our service, before we go to teas and coffees, I'm going to have Carrie come up. I'm going to have Lucille come up. And perhaps Val will come up as well. And we're going to lay hands on people. And we're going to impart healing to you. If you've got a particular area, you know, your back, your stomach, your liver, whatever, blood disease, cancer, whatever, God can heal all that. It's no problem. So I want you to come forward right now and just come forward to receive. Can you do that? And if you're struggling a bit to come forward, somebody will help you. But let's come and receive something from God. And I want to encourage as many as we can. And I want you to come with a simple focus. I'm here to receive. I'm going to come to receive. So yeah, come. Keep coming. Yeah, come. Ms. Coward, come. Come, Cynthia.